All right. Well, the time I've been waiting for. I brought you a sermonette today. So it's I got a short sermon. So I've said before, but I've known for several weeks that this was the sermon that felt like the Lord told me, to preach this sermon, the prayer of Jabez, to you today, at least a month ago. And that week, I just wrote that on my calendar, Prayer of Jabez. That week, Treva started talking about it. It's out of the blue. She started talking about Jabez. And I said, okay, Lord, I hear you. And so turning your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10. You know, a lot of people will be giving prophetic words this first service in 2025. And I don't think we should do that unless we hear the Lord say something specifically. And I don't know that I heard the Lord for sure, but I felt like the Lord spoke to me in worship and said 2025 is the year of the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. I believe that the church is going to rise up in 2025 like you've never seen before. I don't believe I'm talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking to the church. I believe the whole body of Christ is going to come back to be the body of Christ that they're supposed to be, the called out ones, and that we're going to begin to affect change in our community. We need a holy church in America. I tell you, if you're looking for President Trump to change America, you're looking at the wrong place. You better put your eyes upon Christ, because he's the only one that can change this nation and this world. And you are his mouthpiece. And you are his arms. So will you allow the Holy Spirit to use you this next year? Amen. I trust that you will. I pray that you will. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, there's two little lonely verses that stand out. It says, "Now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. So God granted him what he requested." Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. I'm so thankful, Lord, that whether we preach here or there or in a tent or on the street, it doesn't matter. God, it's your word that does not return void. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke, God. We look to you, Lord. You are the source of our strength. God, I am only a mouthpiece, Lord, for what you want to say to this congregation. So I pray, Lord, that I would hear, Lord, the voice of the Lord today. But I pray that their ears would be open to receive what the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak to them individually, God. We are your people, so speak to us today. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you have your Bibles open. People don't even bring Bibles to church anymore. Shame on you. But they pull out their phones and they have different kinds of, I get that. There's something still special about holding the book, right? I'm not just preaching old fashioned stuff. I believe that. I believe that book is called the Holy Bible because it's set apart from all others. But anyway, if you're looking at that and you're looking through 1 Chronicles, you're going to see that it's all about the kingdoms of Judah. It's all about the families, the clans. And so right in the middle of saying, oh, he was the father of so-and-so, and there was clan over here, and this one begat this one, and he blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, it stops, and it says, and Jabez. I mean, it's out of nowhere. It's two little verses that look like they don't even belong there, and he's never mentioned again in Scripture. We don't know what happened other than that last line, and God granted his request. That's an important line. God granted his request. Jabez is born during the time of the judges. If you remember that, it's when Israel did not have a king. And Israel would start doing its own thing, and they would go into sin, and they'd start sinning, and all of a sudden they'd go into captivity, they'd get miserable, and then they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a king, or a judge rather. Remember, he raised up Gideon, he raised up Deborah, he raised up several people, men and women of God, that he would use to deliver his people. So he was in this time. The Bible tells us that he was birthed in pain. It says that he was more honorable than everyone else. The word in the Hebrew for honor, I will not get this right, K-A-B-H-E-B-H, you pronounce it. And it means to be weighty or heavy. So here's the Kelleher rendition. Jabez was a fat baby. And so when he was birthed, he caused his mama pain. That's what scripture says. He doesn't say he was a fat baby. He says honorable. And she stuck that name on him. She stuck the name Jabez, which means pain. And I believe that if a kid can find anything about you when we're children, if they can find anything about you and pick at you and make fun of you, they will do that. Kids are ruthless and mean when it comes to this. And they'll attack each other. And I believe that Jabez felt a lot of pain growing up because people knew what his name meant. Well, you're just a pain, Jabez. You know, you caused your mama pain, you cause us pain. And I think it dwelt up in him. Have you ever had anything that seemed innocent enough, but all of a sudden it begins to well up in you and begins to, it's like your wife leaving the cap off the toothpaste. It's so innocent. But all of a sudden, you know, 3 years in the road, can you not put the cap back? It's the little foxes that spoil the vine, right? It's little things. But this thing of his name, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. But his name was not a good name. It was a name that reflected pain. And he took it to the Lord. Oh my. You talk about wisdom. That's wise. There's a lot of things in life that you're going to deal with that you're going to try to fix yourself. And you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to fix it. So you turn to him, if you're wise, you will turn to him and you'll say, Jesus, I can't fix this, but I know you can. Is there anything too hard for God? Mm-mm. We've been preaching that all through Christmas, right? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Can he make a virgin have a baby? Nothing too hard. Can he make a 90-year-old woman have a baby? Nothing too hard for God. Can he heal you when the doctor says there's no hope? Yeah. Whose word do you want to believe? So Jabez begins to pray, and he prays this four-part prayer. And I really believe the Lord wants you to hear this today, and I believe the Lord wants you to begin to pray it over yourself. He said, will you bless me indeed? Number two, will you enlarge my territory? Number three, that your hand would be with me. And number four, would you keep me from evil that I may not cause pain? I'm telling you, this was in his psyche. This was in his spirit and soul that he caused pain wherever he went. Are you getting that? Now, this is a side thing, but you be careful what you speak over your children. Don't you call them names. Now, my mother called me Angel. She was a prophet and didn't know it, didn't it? So he prays these things. And so we want to go through these real quickly, but I want to ask you a question. Is it selfish to ask God to bless you? Not at all. Not at all. Why? Hey, let me ask you this. This is, some of these thoughts are from the book that was written by Bruce Wilkinson, The Prayer of Jabez. It's a great little book. You can read it about an hour if you're a slow reader. And so, have you ever thought that when we get to heaven, the Lord may pull out a file on you, and you may say, what's that file? And he may say, it's the things I wanted to give you, but you never would ask. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given. You remember last week when I said, don't do this? And I turned the Bible over and there was the very scripture that I was preaching. James 4 says, we have not because we ask not. Guys, it's not selfish to ask the Lord to bless you. See, when the devil has done a great job of convincing people that God is waiting for them to make a mistake so he can curse them. It's the exact opposite, really. God come that we would be blessed. When he looked at Abraham, Abraham was an idol worshiper. Abram. And so when God called him out from the land of Ur, the Chaldeans, and set him apart, chapter 12, he gives him a sevenfold blessing. I mean, from the time that he says, you're my man, here's what I want to do with your life, I want to bless you. I believe that when God called his disciples to come out to follow him, it wasn't so that they would be a task. It wasn't that they would be a detriment. It's that they would be a blessing. When you understand that you are God's man, God's woman, of course God wants to bless you. Appreciate your enthusiasm. God wants you to bless you. Because he wants you to be a blessing. Now, if you think, oh man, I need a new car, you're thinking wrong. Does God want you to have a car? Absolutely. He wants you to be able to get around. Not even wrong to pray for a car if you need a car. But too many Americans, because this doctrine that has flowed through our society, believe that God wants to make you rich. That's heresy. God wants you to be his man. And he wants to take you to heaven. And if he made all of us rich, he would be signing the death warrant over most of us to go to hell. It's hard for a rich man to go to heaven is what the Bible says. So God, I don't want riches if I don't know how to handle it. If I can't handle it properly, I don't want it. But Lord, I do pray to be a blessing. I ask that you would bless me. That I would be a blessing to others. When you understand that I've asked Jesus into my heart, I have surrendered my will to him, I am his servant. Really what you're asking, you're not really saying, Lord, bless me. You're saying, Lord, bless me that I can be a blessing. Bless me that I can be your man. Bless me that I can influence the people that you will put in line with me. And I believe we ought to pray that every day. So let me say this. God's bounty is limited by us, not by him. You may be going through a tough time right now. And I want to say to you, have you asked the Lord to help you? One of the first revelations God told his people is in Exodus chapter 34. He says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. The Lord is good. Bless the Lord. I appreciate that I'm preaching in a Methodist church today. Where's my collar? It's all right to say amen in this church, okay? You're not going to mess me up. We should ask God to impart to us supernatural favor, unlimited goodness. He is a good God, and he longs to do good towards you. Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. How many people know someone that has lots of money but has lots of sorrow? Right? Wouldn't it be a blessing to have an abundance with no sorrow? Right? You're not worried about losing it. I don't have to insure it. It's all his anyway. The second thing he prayed, Lord, enlarge my territory, my borders. I'm the one that asked Treba to sing that song, that we were really made for more. God wants to bless you and enlarge. I believe that I'm preaching to you, but you are the church. God wants to bless not just BOH. God wants to bless the church and enlarge our territory. What is our territory? It's our influence. God wants us to be influential in Henry County. Whatever county you're from, I believe God wants us to be influential in our city, in our county, in our state, in our government, in every part of who we are. I told you last week that God's math is a little different than our math. It's definitely not scientific. How in the world can you give more and he gives it back, right? Cast your bread upon the water and he'll give it back. So God's math is something like this. My willingness and my weakness plus God's will and his supernatural anointing will equal an expanding territory. God told Zechariah, he says, Zechariah, it's not by might. Doesn't matter how hard you work without the blessing of God. It's not by power. I believe this is a word for somebody. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. You're going to come across something in life that you're going to think, I can't do that. I'm not capable. And you will probably be correct. You can't. I remember when we first started this church, I kept praying, Lord, build the church. Build the church, Lord. Increase the church. And we went down to a district meeting and we heard this preacher saying, you people keep asking the Lord to build the church, but you're probably not capable of pastoring a bigger church. I felt like he probably should have put my name on that. And so I changed my prayer. I said, God, I said, make me capable. Make me capable of pastoring a bigger church. And he began to build a church. And every time he builds it, I think, oh Lord, I can't do this. And he says, that's right. That's right. You can't. I'm telling you that to say this. If you begin to pray this prayer, Lord, enlarge my territory, you're going to get to the place. God's going to honor your prayer. God's going to answer your prayer. And God's going to get you to the place where all of a sudden you're in water over your head. You're going to think, Lord, you've done it. You did it. You enlarged my territory, but now I don't know what to do. And he's going to say, you're in the right spot now, right? That's right where I wanted you. I'm telling you, I've got preacher friends. I got a brother that's a preacher and they're always calling me, you need to do this and you need to do that. Read this book and get on this podcast and do this. How about just listen to God? Amen. I'll tell you, I think it's time that we close the other books and get in the book. And begin to pray, Holy Spirit, I am your man. And you have the answers to my questions. Am I over my head? Absolutely I'm over my head. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm qualified as a businessman. I didn't go to Bible school. I know that surprises you. I rely upon him. I'm telling you, when I talk to these parents up here, don't you remember when your kids were small? Daddy, can I do this? Can I do that? I'm like, I don't know. Is that safe or is it dangerous? Who's going to be at that party? I mean, you're being asked questions all the time that's beyond your wisdom. But there is one who knows tomorrow. Hallelujah. And he will talk to you if you will talk to him. Enlarge our territory, God. The third thing he says is that your hand would be with me. Oh my goodness. The hand of God is the hand of power. It's the hand of authority. I don't want to go one day that I don't feel the hand of God with me. Nehemiah and Ezra both said this. Of course, they're written by the same guy. But they said this when they asked the king, or when they would go before the king to do this and the king would grant them the request. They didn't say, what a great king. You know what they said? The good hand of God has been with me. They knew where their answers was coming. When things work out for you, quit saying, I've been lucky today. The steps of the righteous man are ordered by the Lord. We do not walk in luck. It's in the book of Acts too. When all those people got saved, 3,000 people got saved, they said, the hand of the Lord was with us. Folks, when things begin to happen in your life, make sure you give him glory for it. The hand of God has been with me today. And let me just tell you this. Even when things don't work the way you think they ought to work, the hand of God is still with you. My goodness, what would we be like if he said yes to everything that we'd asked for? You know, we really ought to say thank you that you say no sometimes. Hallelujah. There's a lot of impossible things. Matthew 28 verse 19, 20. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's impossible. I can't do that. But he can. If he has enough of the men and women of God, says, I'm your servant. Maybe I can only touch Paris. Maybe I can only talk to my neighbors. So I'm getting ready to move out to a field that have no neighbors. But together we can. Think about Daniel when he went to the lion's den. God was with him. He did something that nobody else had done. You say, well, it was just fortunate that the lions wasn't hungry that day. Well, they sure was hungry when they took Daniel out of the pit and put somebody else in there. You know, when Daniel Crawford, you guys know him as Big Dan, when he first started coming to the church, Luke was about 2 years old, and Daniel was working different shifts, and every once in a while, he'd call me up and he'd say, hey, do you have lunch plans today? And I said, no. And he said, you care if I come up and eat lunch? And I said, yeah. And he'd bring Luke with him. That's the only one he had at that time. And Luke is now a man. He's probably got his head bowed right now saying, don't talk about me. But I would say, he'd say, where do you want to go to lunch? And I said, well, what does Luke like? You know, let's do something that Luke likes. And he said, well, he likes McDonald's. And I thought, oh, so we go to get something from McDonald's. And I said, let's go to the park and we'll play. And Daniel and I would sit on this bench and Luke would go play on all the little toys and stuff like that. And Daniel's 6'4" and weighs. And Luke would get in these little tubes. You know what I'm talking about in the park? These little tubes, and he'd crawl and he'd get about halfway in and get petrified and he'd just stop. But Daddy was there. And all of a sudden, Daddy would go to the end. He'd say, come to me. But Luke couldn't come to him. He didn't. He was scared. He just stopped in the middle. So before I know it, here's a 6'4", 200 plus man crawling through this little tube. And I'm thinking, oh dear God, I hope that's secure. And he was crawling through this tube to rescue his baby. That's the love of a dad. And you have a dad. See, the devil tries to make us think that we're in this thing alone, and we are not alone. Our Father is watching over us. There's nothing that happens to you that He doesn't see, and He is willing to go through the little tunnel to rescue you if He needs to. And Daniel made it out, and I was so glad. I did have to get the butter out of the car, but 2 Chronicles 16 says this, "The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." Did you get that? Did you put your name there? The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen Eric, whose heart is fully committed to Him. I'm going to read it one more time. I'm going to give you an opportunity to put your name there. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen Eric. Thank you. Whose heart is fully committed to Him, to God. Do you believe that? Do you believe God sees you today? Do you believe that God knows your weakness? Do you believe that God can help you through the difficult times? The last thing he prayed, which is amazing, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. I know that's the name Mama gave me. I know everybody says, I'm just a drug addict and I'll never be anything else. Everybody says you're from the wrong side of the tracks. You're trash and you'll always be trash. The devil's a liar, folks. His word is the right word. The word of the Lord is right. Keep me from evil. Does that sound familiar? Jesus, will you teach us to pray? Teach us to pray the way you pray. There's something about, you ever, somebody told me one time about Roy. They said, man, I love to hear him pray. He said, you ought to pray. You ought to pay him to pray for that church. And I told Roy that, and he was humbled, of course. Doesn't matter if you're eloquent. It matters if you're praying. Lord, keep me from evil. When they heard Jesus pray, don't you know that's the normal thing that you would say? Lord, I want to pray like you. How do you do that? Will you teach me to pray like you do? And the only line that I want to say today is the line that I always forgot. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from the evil one. Why do we not pray that? And say, Eric, I do. I hope you do. But for years, I didn't. I was preaching on the Lord's Prayer one day, and I thought, I don't do this. What's wrong with me? I'm preaching this stuff and not doing it. Thank you for not amening. I tell you the reason that some of us need delivered from evil is because we're living in the devil's backyard. Folks, if you've had a problem, if you've had an addiction, you need to be a teetotaler for the rest of your life. You can't do a little bit. You got to stay away from it. If you've been a whoremonger, addicted to pornography, you probably don't need a smartphone. We need to stay away from the enemy's camp. Deliver us from evil. This is old time Pentecost preaching, by the way. Deliver me from evil. Well, stay out of it. Come on. Quit opening the door to the devil saying, come on in. The Bible says that Lot pitched his tent toward Sodom. Pitched his tent toward Sodom. But then the next time that you read in Scripture, Lot is living in Sodom and he's a keeper of the gate, which meant he was a person in authority in the city. Do you see what sin does? Sin is like the devil fishing. He cast out the bait and we bite. Oh, that looks good to the eyes. That will make me wise. That will make me rich. That might make me prosperous with the women. He knows my shoes. We bite on the bait. And the devil gives a little jerk and it hurts just a little bit. But we get along. And all of a sudden, the devil's got us on a string. And he begins to reel it in. And before long, the things that you never thought you would do, you find yourself doing. You never thought I would talk like that, but now I'm talking like that. Oh man, let's bring back some good old holiness back to the temple. It's time that we ask the Lord to pull the plug. Let's get rid of the hook that's in our mouth that's pulling us in the wrong direction. Lord, deliver us from evil. And he says, and God granted him his request. I mean, I think all of us, when we think about going to heaven, we think, oh, I can't wait to see this one. I can't wait to talk to him. And all of us want to see Jesus. But there's other people in the Bible that we think, I can't wait to see David. David's my man. But I want to meet Jabez. I want to say, Jabez, tell us the rest of the story. He granted your request, but what did it look like? Isn't that going to be exciting to hear the rest of the story for millions and millions and millions of years? We're going to get to meet other believers and hear the story of what God has done. I believe God wants to bless the church. Do you believe that? Well, you are the church. God's not looking to bless this building. It's just a building. It could be a car lot next week. You're the church. The ecclesia. The called out ones. God wants to bless you. But you got some skin in the game. First of all, will you ask? Second of all, will you submit? God's not going to bless a rogue agent. God wants you to be in line. When he says something, will you submit? Would you stand with me? I thank you so much for being here today. All of our guests, God bless you. Wonderful to have you. And you're welcome to come back anytime that you so feel. But this is probably the most important moment of the service. We're not dismissing right now. This is the time where I have preached what the Lord has laid on my heart. And now you've got to respond to it. And a response sometimes is no. And it's sometimes, many times in the church house, the response is just act like I didn't hear the preacher. Just ignore it. Ignoring me is not a big deal. Ignoring the Holy Spirit in me is a big deal. And so if you ignore what God has spoken through me today, it's your loss. It's your loss. Because God only wants to bless you. But you've got to be willing to submit. So I'm going to pray for each and every one of us today. But I can't pray what you can pray. I hope today that you will humble yourself and that you'll ask the Lord in all sincerity, be my Lord. I don't care if you've been saved for 50 years. Can we just pray it today? Be my Lord. I am your servant. I want to hear your voice and I will respond. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord. I believe this prayer today of Jabez is the prayer that you wanted us to hear. And if you wanted us to hear that, it's because you want to bless us. And you want to enlarge the territory of these people, of the church. I pray right now, God, that they would submit themselves to the hand of God. That they would come clean. If there's any sin in their life, that they would ask you to forgive them. Lord, if there's unforgiveness in their heart towards anyone, that they would be willing to forgive them right now. There's nothing like unforgiveness that stops the blessing of God. I pray, Lord, remove all the barriers to your blessing. As we submit to you, God, I pray, Lord, right now, Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory. May your hand be upon us. And deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Brother Denny, would you come and dismiss us? Oh, yeah, we got communion. Amen. Brother David, would you come? He's going to lead you. I thought this would be good. As we dedicate ourselves to the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor. Quite often when we have worship service and Treva and our worship team are leading us in worship, quite often I'll stop at some point singing because I'm really thinking about what we sing about. I really put a lot of thought into it. I don't just, just sing words and forget it. And I thought it was so interesting today that what is the first song we're going to sing in our sanctuary as we dedicate this to the Lord? Sister Treva led us in Victory in Jesus. None of us would be here if it wasn't for the victory that Jesus won on the cross at Calvary. I'm eternally indebted to my Savior, as each of us are. But again, like I said a moment ago, I was thinking about what we were singing. And that chorus said, "He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood." That got me to thinking. Jesus has not changed. The word of God says in Mark 10:45, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." And at this very moment, from the beginning of from the time we gathered in the fellowship hall for fellowship this morning, coffee and donuts, to now, Jesus himself has been seeking you. Are you lost? You may be in church service and it's just going through a time and I want to get home and I just want to have a good time, watch football, play video games, run around, shop. I don't know what you'll do. And we think about 100 things we want to do. And we forget the fact that the Son of God is here. He is seeking you. By name. Pastor preached today about Jabez. There are people here who come to church. We smile. We greet one another. And you have been burdened down with pain. I'm not just speaking physical pain. But emotional pain, mental pain, psychological pain. And you're thinking, I don't even know how I'm going to make it through to the next service, much less, I don't even know if I can keep going to church. I feel like a hypocrite. You know, everybody's so upbeat, and here I am. God's answering prayer for everybody, and here I am, and it seems like I'm just being crushed. And Jesus is here. He's seeking you. He's calling you by name. And we are going to be receiving the emblems of the Lord. Now, most every week I carry my Bible. But I don't want you to feel under conviction if you haven't brought your Bible, because I didn't bring mine today. We're all in the same boat. But we do need to bring our Bibles. I agree with the pastor 100%. But I love the New Living Translation. It's probably really my personal preference. So I want to read these verses from the New Living Translation from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Would you really listen? Because Jesus is wanting to speak to us personally. This has your name on it, has my name on it. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. And he is coming again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself." You know, and we pastored a church a number of years ago, and there was constant sickness in that church. And I was praying and praying, "Oh God, you know, I'm concerned about the flock. There's so many people sick, and some have died." And I prayed, and I read the scripture. "That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Amen. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world." Now, you've been in a lot of communion services, but you are having a personal encounter with Jesus right now. It's between you and him. And he knows your soul. He knows my soul. He knows our thoughts. I'm going to ask that you, along with me, will make a fresh surrender of our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Say, "Lord, I'm not just receiving this just because it's a social thing to do or I'm in church, but you're speaking to me." Some people here may not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, does everybody here have the emblems? Is there anybody that needs the emblems? You have not received them. Anyone who needs it, raise your hand. We'll have. Okay. Looks to me as though everyone has received. We're going to pray. We're going to receive the emblems. And this is your personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Mark it down. God himself is witness that he sent his son to die for you and shed his blood and be buried and raised the third day. Now what will you do with that? We need to make a fresh surrender of our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. Would you do that with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. We confess, Lord, we are not worthy to come to your table. But because you have shed your blood, because you have bought us with a precious price, even your own blood, dying on the cross for our sins. Lord, we don't apologize for our sins so we can keep on sinning. We repent. I repent. Amen. And Lord, I willfully turn from my sins to follow Jesus with all my heart. Is that your prayer? As we pray, make that your prayer. Talk to the Lord. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Ask Jesus to come into your heart to forgive you. So, Lord, thank you for your shed blood and your broken body. And we receive these emblems to the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take the bread together. After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Let us drink the cup. I know Brother Denny is here to close the service, as he normally does. But Brother Denny, would you just come and just lead us in a word of prayer, a fresh dedication to the Lord?
Sure. Blessed are you, O Lord, our King and our God. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, God. We thank you for the death on the cross, Lord. We thank you for the communion, Lord, the elements that you give us to remind us of his death for us. As often as we do it, Lord, we announce his death until he comes. We thank you for the second coming that we are looking forward to, Lord. We thank you for the advent that we just celebrated of the first coming. And we thank you, Lord, that we look forward to the second coming, Lord God. When he shall come in all of his glory, Lord God. And every eye shall see him. We thank you so much, Lord God. Father, we thank you for this building you've given us. We thank you for this this restored building, Lord God. And it's such a wonderful picture for us, Lord, of the renewing and the restoration that you do inside of our building, Lord. Inside of our body, Lord God. Yes. Father, your word tells us not that you make new things, God, but that you make all things new, Lord. Father, old things have passed away, Lord God. We are new creation in you, Lord Jesus. Just like this building, it looks the same from the outside, Lord, but it's different on the inside now. And we who have received you, Lord Jesus, are exactly the same way. We may look the same on the outside, but we are brand new on the inside, Lord. There's nothing that we could have done on our own to do that, but it's only through the gift of Jesus Christ that we are able, Lord. And Father, not only did you send Jesus to die on our behalf, God, but you send your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be your deposit, to dwell inside of us, Lord God, to lead us and guide us, Lord. And Father, to be that deposit, knowing that you will come back and redeem us fully, Lord, at your coming, Father. We honor you and we magnify you today, Lord God. We exalt you in this place, Lord. We exalt you in our hearts, Lord. We exalt you in our minds, Lord God. We turn all of our focus upon you today, Lord. God, thank you so much. We could never thank you enough for all that you've done, Lord. But God, you are so wonderful that you haven't stopped at salvation. You haven't stopped at just giving us the Holy Spirit, God, but you continually bless us. You will continue to enlarge our territory, Lord, because you told us whatever we ask, if we believe we receive it, we shall have it, Lord. Those are your words, not ours. And you said you are faithful to your word. So we thank you so much, God. We honor you and we magnify you, Lord, today. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. 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 Raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. Now, as we leave, you remember you come in through the new doors. We also have a door on my left, your right, that you can exit as well. It's less of a bottleneck there, but may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless you.